This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Welcome back to Kelly and Company. I'm Danielle McLaughlin. You can stream AMI audio on several different platforms on your desktop or mobile devices. You can find us on TuneIn Radio using the app on your phone or iTunes, or even on your Victor Reader stream device. Wherever you go, that's where we are. Today, we're going to be speaking with AMI's favorite gardener. Susan Kearney joins us now to talk all things gardening.
Hello, I'm Susan Kearney. Join me on Kelly and Company to learn about the joy of gardening by using touch, taste, scent, and sound.
Hello, Susan, how are you?
Hello, I'm good.
And even better, how's your garden?
Well, it's different this year. It is different. I've done a little bit of different things this year, and not done as many things as I have done in other years. But it's all right. It's going all right.
I bet it's still a pleasure. I can imagine how lovely it must be. And I understand that you've been working with pollinators. So let's get to know plants for our gardens that will help our pollinators. What have you got?
Well, some of this is a bit controversial. I will say that because I've heard a lot of controversy lately about plants that help our pollinators. Not all of them are controversial, but many people have started to put some wildflowers into their gardens, and some wildflowers are not acceptable in some municipalities. It has created some controversy, but some of these plants are very important because as we move into the pollinators' habitats, then we're taking those habitats up by putting our habitats in where they used to live or where they used to migrate. And so when we take away those wild plants, many of them are wild, wildflowers. We talk about wildflowers, and I'll start naming some. One is clover.
Oh, I clover love clover.
I do too. And I keep quite a bit in my grass. It does a wonderful, and it attracts many different types of bees, wasps, and so many pollinators that will go on to pollinate things that we need to eat. So that is the first one. I don't like it when people sort of pull it out or say that it looks awful, or you know, they want a perfect lawn.
Anyway, I don't know why they pull it out. It's so lush and green, and the other thing is that when you do cut the grass, it smells delicious. It does. The lovely smell of clover.
Yes, and it doesn't hurt other animals. It doesn't hurt other pets. It's not something that's toxic to other pets,
right.
or other animals. So it can stay there. My next one is dandelions, and I do know that this is controversial, but I always have them in my garden. I love them when they come up in the spring, and they are very important for some of our first pollinators, and that's why they shouldn't be sprayed or whatever people like to do with them. They should be left, and I know that I think people are starting to garden that way a little more, and I think it's a good thing.
I guess they're edible too, aren't they? I mean, I know
they
people
are.
Who pick dandelion greens first thing in the spring, and it's an early salad, isn't it?
It is, and it's one of the earliest salads. And of course, you can make dandelion wine out of it. I never have, although I've got some recipes in cookbooks how to do it. But I don't think I would ever embark on that. But yes, you can actually make dandelion wine. And
have you ever had dandelion wine? I've never had dandelion wine. I don't know what it would taste like.
No, I can imagine it would sort of taste like green and bitter, you know.
Yeah, that's like, what I thought.
That's what I would think that it would taste like, but maybe not. Maybe it is really good and I'm missing something by not making any.
I wonder if you can buy it. I've never seen it for sale. Somebody must sell it.
Absolutely. Somebody probably does somewhere. the next one is Scarlet Creeping Time. Now, this is a very interesting time because it's a creeping time, and it also can grow through your grass, and it does not it doesn't grow very high, and it's actually a very pretty, well, scarlety pink color, and it smells wonderful. It's very hardy when you walk on it, and it isn't prickly like some creeping things that go through your lawn. It's actually very nice to walk on,
and it's very soft, isn't it?
Yeah, very nice and very beautiful. I know people say that the bright color is very beautiful, and it also attracts a lot of wonderful pollinators. And the next
I wanted to ask you, do you walk barefoot through your garden when you've got all of these wonderful pollinators on as ground cover? Because one of the things I've discovered is that bees like feet, or wasps like feet. So if you're walking barefoot through, it could be a painful experience. You've got to wear shoes if you're going to have those pollinators as ground cover, don't you?
Well, yes. If you're going to walk in the grass, well, I tend to put shoes on anyway, or sandals on anyway, because I never know what's going to be in the grass or whatever. So to protect your feet, because so they do like to, and you don't want to step on them because all they do is sting you, and then that's it, that's the end of them. And
that's no good for either of you.
No, absolutely not. My next one is columbine, which I love, and mine comes up every year. It is a native plant to North America. It's beautiful purple flowers, and I really like that plant. It pretty well stays most of the summer, and it also doesn't grow very tall.
Yeah, a friend of mine gave me some seeds from wild columbine in her field. She lives on a farm, and it's been very successful in my garden. I love that stuff, and so do the pollinators, don't they?
Oh, they really love it. Like and you do not want to walk barefoot near the patch of columbine because it's always buzzing, which is a good thing, right?
That's right.
Very good. And all your herbs, most of my herbs, I let a lot of them flower so that they will attract different pollinators. The chives are always buzzing, which I think is great. And their purple flowers are very good to put into soups or salads, but the pollinators also like them, so I leave some for the pollinators, which is really good. And then I also like to leave the dill flowers, and I have one dill plant that I don't know. I missed the pot because I do a lot of container gardening. I must have missed the pot a few times. Didn't get enough rain, and of course dill really likes rain. But it's come back now, rather straggly, but it's got a lot of flowers on it. So I just it's not going to be good for eating. So the pollinators can have that one all to themselves.
That's nice. You know, I have some dill as well. I know my son likes to pick the flowers and put them in with the pickles because that tastes really nice. They're good for that purpose. If you shake them well and get the pollinators out before you put them in the jar.
Yes.
But the swallowtail butterflies love dill flowers, and they will.
Yeah.
I thought, my dill looks so great, and then I saw that there were swallowtail caterpillars on it, and I thought, they can have the dill. I don't need that much dill. They can have the dill instead.
That's why I left this one too, because I went to touch it, and I noticed around the flowers when I was touching it, there was little like balls of things that I thought, something's been laying their larva here. I'm just going to leave it there. I don't know. So, and the next one is my strawberries. And this year, my strawberries were really good, which I thought was really interesting because they've been really dry. But I actually came back a second time. I actually got a really good crop the second time. And the flowers attract a lot of pollinators, too. And so that's kind of fun to have. And even if you just put a pot of strawberries out, they can grow very nicely in a pot. Have to keep squirrels away from them, but
yes, yeah. Those guys aren't pollinators; those are pests.
yes, yeah, absolutely. And any of your fruit, like any of your fruit trees, I don't have fruit trees here at all. But any of your fruit trees, they also gather different pollinators, which is really neat. And of course, some of our native plants are black-eyed Susans. And our periwinkle, they're very nice. And some people think that they're weeds. They're not. Mm-hmm. They really help our pollinators. They are native plants. They will reseed every year, so you'll get those back and nice beautiful wildflowers. And that's pretty well what's in my garden.
Wow! Do you do tours of your garden? Oh, and red runner beans?
Yeah, they love the pollinators love them. I didn't put any in this year. I didn't put any runner beans in this year. Last year I had lots and lots of runner beans and I had lots of pollinators on those, and yeah, they love the flowers when they come out though.
Well, I guess without the pollinators, we wouldn't have the strawberries or the beans or the fruit, would
nope.
we? I mean, that's you
we
need
wouldn't.
Those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And I know that some people get really upset about the fact that there are bees or wasps or even flies around, but they seem to like the butterflies. And I love the fact that I've been able to find butterflies in my garden. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, I didn't get as many this year. Usually I have a lot, but I didn't get as many this year, a few. I do know that there is a bit of a problem. And
yes.
Some of this is going to become controversial because people will want to put, as we destroy their habitats, they'll be wanting to put things into their gardens that some people don't want, and I think we have to rethink things for the wildlife around us.
I think you're so right. Thank you so much,
yes.
Susan. It's lovely talking with you.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Bye. Tune in for our gardening chats with Susan every second Thursday on Kelly and Company. Coming up next, community reporter Annette Dennis highlights summer events at the Covent Garden Market in London, Ontario, including the London Brunch Fest.
Hi, I'm Jenny Bovard. Join me monthly for Low Vision Moments, where I speak with awesome guests about some of the amusing things that happen when you're blind or partially sighted. Watch on YouTube or download Low Vision Moments from your favorite podcast distributor.